we'll stick with the broad theme of housing, because the Labour Party, whose housing spokesperson is here with us tonight, Conor Sheehan, and we'll hear from him and the rest of our panel in a moment. The Labour Party had a motion on housing. It's been very topical, kicked off by an interview you did yourself with the Taoiseach, which was published in the Examiner on Saturday, and he reiterated comments on Sunday on the This Week programme about rent pressure zones, mm-hmm. which kind of, I suppose, provided some of the heat behind what was heard in the debate today.
Yeah, and there's been a number of different, I suppose, things that have been mentioned about housing now that we've been quite surprised by in the past week. The first one, as you mentioned, Colin, was around the rent pressure zones and the fact that they're now going to be revisited with the possibility of axing them or abolishing them completely in favour of these rent referencing systems. That was a recommendation of the Housing Commission. And then we had on Monday in the Irish Times, where there's the possibility, or certainly it'll be discussed next week at a housing sub-cabinet committee, the possibility of reintroducing tax incentives or tax breaks for developers, which would be a very controversial thing, I think, given our history not so long ago around developers and the boom and bust around the housing sector. So it's in that context, I think, that the government is getting a bit of heat. And even the Taoiseach himself was asked about this going into Cabinet this morning and seemed to be at odds with the Taoiseach, actually, saying that we don't make up housing policy on the hoof. So perhaps there are cracks emerging already on what is a contentious issue and one that the government has grappled with over numerous terms now, not just this one. And so I think you will see the likes of Labour and other opposition parties, I think, raising the issue of housing, whether it's in leaders' questions, whether it's through PMBs or private members' motions now, because they know it's something that the government is really grappling with and trying to get a handle of yet again, it has to be said.
All right. I don't know if you got a chance to see any of the top lines of the OECD report that was out today as well. Maybe in brief, if you could bring us through that.
And, yes.
We'll go to the rest of our panel then on the debate today.
It's interesting enough because the OECD seems to be agreeing with the Taoiseach insofar as that it recommends that the RPZs should be reviewed. It's saying that rents should be freely adjusted when tenancies end, because they're saying the 2% increase that is allowed under RPZs at the moment doesn't really reflect inflation and the costs of maintaining a property. So a landlord, once a tenant moves out, would be able to adjust the rent to maybe cater for the increase in costs or doing up the property or the costs, as I said, associated with having that property. It also makes a number of other recommendations around tax incentives, particularly for renters. There's a €1,000 claim back that renters can avail of at the moment, and they're saying that that's not targeted enough, that perhaps it should be means tested or based on your income. And then it does take issue as well with the first time buyers grant, which I think the opposition have been raising, certainly Sinn Féin over the years, about the fact that that does
too broad, fuel, not targeted,
yeah, and fuels inflation and the cost of houses ultimately.
Okay, let's turn to our panel, who are Paul Lawless, Elvaine, TD for Mayo, Conor Sheehan, Labour Party, TD for Limerick City, and the party spokesperson on housing, and Ryan O'Mara, Fianna Fáil, TD for Tipperary North. Congratulations all to a panel of first-time TDs we have in studio. So welcome for your first time together in studio. So Conor Sheehan, we'll start off with you first. The putting down of the motion on housing. When was it decided to put this down? Was this was this devised early on? And I suppose were you fortunate in that the context for having the debate was set by remarks by the Taoiseach on rental pressure zones, coverage of tax breaks and the like, which probably drew public attention to some of the minutiae of the issue?
Well, look, the first thing I would say is that we made the decision to put down this motion a number of weeks ago at a parliamentary party meeting because we knew we had private members' time coming up and we wanted to put down a motion that reflected A, our policy priorities, but B, also the biggest issue that we as a group of 11 TDs, and I'm sure as Ryan and Paul, are dealing with as well, and that is the issue of housing. Obviously, the debate got turbocharged following on from the remarks that the silly remarks that the Taoiseach made at the weekend, because the fact of the matter is that renters in the private rented sector are the most precarious people when it comes to housing. And to float something like that on national radio last Sunday without without trailing what the alternative is going to be is absolutely reckless, because I've been inundated with emails, text messages, WhatsApps, whatever, from renters in Limerick City who are terrified, because although the rent pressure zones in a way haven't particularly worked and they are a blunt instrument and we have been critical of them and we do need a better system, they're the only thing that's protecting a whole cohort of renters in the private rented market from homelessness.
All right. Well, let's start on that issue, because I think, you know, the issue of rent pressure zones and people who are renting and the effect those remarks might have had. You heard Conor Sheehan characterise those remarks as silly, Ryan O'Mara. What's your response to that?
Well, it's opening up a debate and it's discussing the fact that there's a review taking place. No decision has been made. But I think to say that the Taoiseach should have come out with a whole new alternative plan straight away doesn't really make sense either, because what we're saying is we're having the debate on this. The programme for government said we would continue to review the effectiveness of the rent pressure zones. And that is what is taking place right now. It is looking at, yes, we are trying to be ambitious around our housing policy, but we're also trying to be realistic in what we can achieve too. And there's no point in having these policies in place if we can't at least review them and see if there are alternatives or better there. The OECD report today is surprising in their response to it as well. But it's still early days in this and it's having the conversation around it. I think if we weren't having a conversation around it as a government or as government parties, we would equally be getting criticised for not doing enough, for not talking enough, or seeing are there other alternatives there that could work for the market. And the simple fact of the matter is supply is still too low. We need to continue to increase supply. We need to see greater private investment as well as state investment. Right.
We'll come back to that issue. I want to just ask Elaine quickly. It came up in your interview. How did it come up? Was it just something you decided to throw him a question on, or did it come up organically in the course of the interview instigated by the Taoiseach?
It did come up organically, and I think you'll know as well from interviewing the Taoiseach, he's someone who does carefully choose his words and thinks about what he has to say, I think, before he says it. So I think this was something that he was willing to go out on a limb on, and it does seem that way, especially since the Taoiseach today doesn't seem to be fully in agreement or certainly backing him up on that. And I know definitely the Taoiseach wasn't aware that the Taoiseach was going to make these comments ahead of the interview. Now, as a spokesperson when asked today said, they don't necessarily always go out and tell each other what they're going to say ahead of time, but you'd think on an issue such as housing that the policy would be agreed upon, and certainly the public line that the government is going to take would be agreed on. But the RPZs I think are an interesting one, because it was a measure that was outlined in the Housing Commission. Housing Commission was report was published last year, sort of lay there, but it does seem to be something that the government are now picking up on, or the Taoiseach is anyway. And you do wonder whether the government is now scrambling after those housing targets were not met last year and now believes that it has to do something slightly radical.
Okay, Paul Aulis, the remarks on the rental pressure zone, first of all, have you detected any effect amongst your own constituents of those remarks? And do you see them as anything more than the Taoiseach highlighting that a review is coming and to prepare the public early for potential changes?
Well, firstly, we welcome the motion today, particularly because it draws attention to the you know, the level of electioneering that happened by government in the lead up to the general election. And I think, you know, that's, you know, we really welcome the opportunity to highlight that. And the fact is that the government and the minister, Minister O'Brien, in October told the House, told the floor of the Dáil, that we would actually exceed our targets by, you know, around 10,000 units. Now, all of the metrics suggested the complete opposite. The central bank predicted in their bulletin in September that it was very unlikely and we'd be doing well to hit our current targets of just nearly 30,000 houses, about 32,000 houses. So, you know, we want to see the government being honest with the people
okay.
in the first instance.
So that's what I'm asking. I mean, the rent pressure zones will be reviewed. The Taoiseach is now flagging this, that this will happen before the end of the year. Is this clarity and honesty, or do you see something else behind it?
Well, there's no clarity here whatsoever in relation to what's happening. There are people at home tonight who are renting. And Conor made the point that these people are very vulnerable, and they are. And these people are worried tonight in relation to what's happening. However, I do believe that the rent pressure caps are very blunt, and they essentially penalise some landlords who might have a long-standing, very good relationship with their tenant. So, you know, I do have reservations, however,
so
in relation
you'd welcome
to
the review.
Well, I do have huge reservations around what the review will ultimately end up being and whether or not there'll be a flood of evictions following, you know, potentially that opening up. However, I do think the rent pressure zone need to recognise the good landlords who have long-standing tenancies with their tenants.
Conor Sheehan, do you have any view as to what should come out of this? We've heard of reference rents and the like, but I mean, what's the other accusation that was put forward by the Taoiseach is the opposition isn't proposing anything itself. So what's the proposal? What would you like to see come in the event of any review from rent pressure zones? What's
well, right, look, like the first thing I would say is in relation to the OECD report, right? In an ideal world, the rental market should be able to regulate itself. But we don't live in an ideal world. We have such a dearth of supply at the moment.
Sorry, just to clarify for listeners, this is where the OECD report is saying rent pressure zones are something they think should be done away with, that there should be better protection for tenants when they're in contract, but that it should be open to landlords to be able to revise rents upwards between contracts.
But landlords should be able to set rents on the proviso that the housing market worked properly, that we had enough supply and that rents weren't already through the roof. 2,400 in Dublin, 2,100 in Limerick. What we want to see out of this review is we need to see a 3-year rent freeze. And I would like to see rents index linked to the consumer price index. Because the fact of the matter is rents have gone up 100% in the last 10 years. And it's grand saying that you want to get rid of the rent pressure zones, because probably theoretically you should. But the fact of the matter is, are you then willing to deal with the consequences of a turbocharged rental market? Like, it's like coming along to a fire with a can of petrol, because rents will go through the roof and notices to quit will go through the roof and all hell will break loose.
Ryan O'Mara.
It's just interesting that the opposition, like, we're still talking about a review. We're still talking about discussing what other policy could work here, or could there be a better one. But at the same time that the opposition are saying, no, don't touch the rent pressure zones, they're also pretty much fully admitting that they're a blunt instrument, that they're not an ideal instrument. It's on the...
But we've set out an alternative.
It's on the record of the Dáil, which Sinn Féin saying it. The Labour spokesperson on housing is saying it. A&T are now saying it as well. So a review is possibly a good thing. At least we're discussing the policy. And it's what we said in the programme for government.
All right.
It's not that this is a surprise. But
I think at this point we're probably more than discussing the policy, because the Taoiseach first said on Saturday he had more than one opportunity to go back on it with you, Colm, on Sunday, and then we had Jack Chambers.
Well, it was my colleague Justin McCarthy,
Justin,
in fairness.
Apologies.
Yeah.
On Sunday. And then Jack Chambers in the Dáil this week also confirmed that they're going to review it. So I think a rent freeze is definitely
but
a wishful
thinking. Is it the motivation behind it, perhaps, that's causing most of the fear? And, you know, I suppose one of the bits where the OECD's remarks chime with what the Taoiseach was saying was that it's this business of trying to give external investors, I suppose, some reassurance that they're going to be able to make some return on investments in the rental market. That kind of a sentiment is backed up today in the OECD report, where it says institutionally owned share, this is a quote, the institutionally owned share of the Dublin private rented stock has risen from 6% in 2016 to 17% in 2022. Hence, attracting such investment in the Irish housing market, which faces competition from other global assets whose yields have been increasing, will be key. In other words, you know, people have to turn a book if they're going to put money in and fund the supply in the housing sector. Is that maybe what's causing the anxiety around the possible outcome of the RPZ review?
Yeah, and it does seem like the Taoiseach anyway is clear in saying that there has to be some stability for investors, and he's mentioned that we shouldn't be making pension funds into this big boogeyman, that they'll be needed in the housing sector. But then on the other hand, we hear, you know, RPZs being slashed. We hear investors, a change of tax incentive for investors. So all of those things are ripping up the newest iteration of a housing plan. And there have been many over the years, over the past decade. So I don't know how that would reassure investors or reassure developers that we're going again at another new version of whatever they want to call it, Ireland for All, Housing for All, whatever the next one will be called.
All right, Paul Lawless, how do you read that? If, you know, institutional investors are going to be a big part of financing the likes of apartments, which are notoriously expensive to finance, how should they be attracted in, if not through a guarantee of rising rents?
Well, there's no doubt that we need state capital, but we also need the private sector to provide houses, absolutely. So, like, for example, and there is a viability issue. There's no question about that. And the big issue here is we talk about supply, but there is a major viability, particularly in my constituency. There hasn't been an estate built, a private estate built in my area of Mayo since the boom. And when I speak to builders, they tell me that, you know, the cost of capital is too expensive. The risk around putting millions of euros, the cost of building has increased so much that there's huge risk in relation to that. So, you know, we do believe that that we need to bring down the cost of finance through the Home Building Ireland finance mechanism. It's now at 13%. We want to bring that down to 5%. We also want to de-VAT construction materials, because the cost of building is the most significant part in relation to young people trying to get on. So we want to de-VAT the construction materials, and the state and the government are taking the lion's share in relation
Do you think there's any role for institutional investors in the housing sector?
Yeah, absolutely. We do, particularly in the apartment sector. And, you know, so I think it's really important that we encourage that sector, right, for sure.
Conor Sheehan, what's going to incentivise funds who are obliged to provide a return? Their trustees will be trying to ensure that any investment they make provides a return to fund pensions and the like to investors. How are they attracted in if they're not guaranteed a return?
Well, the first thing I would say is I think Elaine hit the nail on the head. We've had a smorgasbord of policy changes over the last 10 years. We've had everything from co-living to build to rent. And we've had the issue with stamp duty around apartments. And what investors need is certainty. But what we also need to give people and builders is more financing options. And what we're talking about doing is investing. So there's billions gone into the Future Ireland Fund, and we want to see that invested to give builders more financing options. Because ever since the crash, they can't get financing outside of the main pillar banks, and they're having to resort to essentially vulture funds. And we want to give them other options, because I talk to small and medium builders the whole time in my constituency, and they want to roll the sleeves up. They want to get shovel ready, and they want to get building homes. But
state get a return from lending the builders money? What's the return on the state's investment if it is providing the finance?
Well, I suppose what we're talking about, right, is we're talking about a role for credit unions as well, because the fact the matter is, what we need to do is we need a two-pronged approach. We need more state investment, and we need more private sector investment. But what we don't need is tax cuts that will not be passed on to putative home buyers. And we've seen that happen in the past. We've seen it with Section 23 during the Celtic Tiger years. These sort of tax cuts that are being talked about, that are coming directly from lobbyists, do not work. They didn't work 20 years ago. They're not going to work now.
Ryan O'Mara, when you were told brace yourself for some unpopular decisions, what did you understand that to mean? Or did you indeed get any insight into what that potentially might mean?
Well, first of all, I guess we're already seeing record state investment in housing in this country. So 6 billion in 2025. Both the Department of Finance and the Housing Commission have said that for us to be building 50,000 to 60,000 homes a year, it would need an investment of about 20 billion euro. That shortfall is not going to be made up by the state in its entirety. That's an impossibility. It's not going to be made up by the Future Ireland Fund. That's an impossibility. So there has to be a space for private sector in this. When it comes to the building of apartment blocks, which I think is one of the reasons that we saw the housing figures not been met in 2024, is because of the cost of building apartment blocks, because of the fact that the entire block has to be built before a single unit can be sold out of it, in comparison with housing estates. And we need funds investing in that. We need private investment in that. That's a necessity. But similarly, when it comes to investing in rental properties, apartments for rent, there is a space for those in society. I know most Irish people want to be homeowners, but there is a massive space for rental properties. And the vast bulk of the investment, in my view, is going to come from the private market for that.
Okay.
When it comes to your question on this, I guess the parliamentary party discussion, brace yourself for difficult issues. The simple fact of the matter is we're in government to make difficult decisions for the betterment of the country. It's going to take difficult decisions.
So that covers everything, basically.
But it's going to take difficult decisions to reach those targets. It's not going to be as simple as the opposition would set out, that we can build so many thousand homes in so many years. There are difficult decisions going to be made, but we need to make them. We need to make them if we are going to increase supply. And the only way we're going to bring down the cost of rental and purchase in this country in the long run is by increasing supply.
Okay.
But you haven't met your social or affordable home targets for the last 4 years since Housing for All was launched. That's a fact.
Yeah, but we still have record number of social houses being built, but the highest level since 1975.
But you're still 10,000 units under target, and every available expert told you that you could not meet your targets.
Yeah, but that's the other side of this debate, is that even when progress is made by the government in housing, the opposition still cannot recognise it.
Because well, in there's fairness, 15,000 people homeless. The government do need to recognise as well that they misled the people. It's very, very clear. I mean, the numbers don't lie, and essentially in terms of where the data would be, like in July 2024 the state we built about 12,000 houses, slightly less than where we were in 2023, and essentially in that last quarter of 2024 we would have had to build 18,000 units. The government knew before the election it was impossible. And yet you came out and you told it all, you told the people. And, you know, you talk about the opposition being honest, etc. I really want a conversation about solutions for housing, and I want the government to be honest with the people.
Okay.
And that has not been the case.
Those conversations have been happening in the draw for the last 2 weeks.
Let's look at, I suppose, of output Elaine, the government parties are opposed to a state construction company. There are various parties in opposition who want to see a state construction company. One of the harder questions to answer on all sides is that if output is going to be increased, how do you get to a situation where the workforce is adequate to get there?
Yeah, and there's questions when you don't have enough housing stock and you need more workers. Where are those workers even just going to live if we bring in workers from abroad to build more houses? So it's a kind of a chicken and egg situation you're into there. But you're right, the state house building agency that I think Labour are calling for, I think the government are dead set against that. That's definitely not going to happen. What the government has been saying is that the LDA was set up. It took a number of years for that to get up and running. It's really only gaining momentum now and doing what it set out to do, and to dismantle the LDA.
But we're talking about repurposing the LDA.
And what the government would be saying, and I'm not advocating one way or the other, but I'm just saying that the government would argue that to do that, it would take another 2 or 3 years and you'd only have the new agency or the new iteration of the agency in place perhaps for the next general election. Meanwhile, you have tens of thousands more people perhaps on a housing list in emergency homeless accommodation and in precarious rental situations. So I think that's why definitely the government won't be accepting that that proposal from any opposition party.
All right. Does it matter, I suppose, and you can all come in on this, does it matter who does it? Because we were looking over the figures last night on the programme, and I think there was 247,000 construction workers in the sector in 2005, when there was 80 to 90,000 units being built, I think around the 80,000 mark. I think there was, by quarter three of last year, there was 150,000 construction workers in the sector. So quite far off. And huge demand. What's the plan to get construction workers in and get them in quickly? Conor Sheehan.
Well, I suppose the first thing I would say is that we need to deal with the issue of sub-minimum wages for craft apprentices. And we've been very clear in Labour that we want to see a minimum wage agreement brought in, because I know for a lot of people in their early 20s who want to become apprentices may want to enter the construction sector. The biggest barrier to them is the fact that when they are apprentices, they're getting basically poverty pay. And the other thing we need to do is a huge job of work needs to be done around workforce planning for the construction sector. I mean, the fact of the matter is we lost a whole generation of construction workers to Australia. And another thing, and the government have said...
So is that the plan, try and get them back from Australia? Or are you talking about taking in workforce from elsewhere?
We need to do all that and more, essentially. But the number one thing that the government could do, and they've said that they would do, and they haven't done it yet, is to add planners to the list of critical skills, because we're short 500 planners at the moment. And that's one of the things that's actually hamming up the planning permission approvals all around the country, both at On Board Planola and County Council level.
Paul Lawless, what's the big idea for thousands more workers to increase output?
Labour shortage is one of the big issues in terms of housing. I sat on Mayo County Council recently, and and this is across the board. The national average time it takes to turn around a local authority home from one let to another let is 8 months. And I asked the executive in Mayo County Council, what is the delay? Why have we so many vacant local property homes? And the big answer is always comes back. It's lack of skilled labour to do the job.
So what's the solution?
We have thousands of people in Australia and Canada. Now, right now, those people are making very, very good salaries. They're living a very comfortable life, and we need to encourage them home.
But where are they going to live if they come home?
Well, firstly, we need to provide incentives around getting them home, around a relocation bonus, around tax credits and significant tax credits to encourage them home. And we'll also want to build rapid build homes. We'll use the Class 17 exemption development regulation to do that. There are great places in my own constituency in Mayo, the modular home company run by Donald Byrne, for example. We did it for the Ukrainian crisis. We did it within months. We surely can do it for our own people to bring them home. And they're not going to come home without the incentives, and they must be financially
and in
looked
fairness,
after as well.
That
and can
point.
I also say,
I want to get in Ryan O'Mara, particularly on the workforce issue. Mm-hmm. I mean, tens of thousands of people needed, and almost doubling of the workforce if the country is to get back to where it was in the early 2000s.
Absolutely, and the workforce has grown year on year. Those working in construction have grown year on year, but equally people entering apprenticeships have grown year on year. It has been a priority for the last government, and I do believe it will be a priority for this current government.
Finishing apprenticeships is a bit more of a problem, because getting off-site hours to be able to complete an apprenticeship is very challenging.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we have a National Apprenticeship Centre in North Tipperary as well, in Archertown, just outside of Thurles, which has been a success, but we need to see further growth in those. Getting people home to work sounds like a great thing to say. It sounds like something we all want to hear. And yes, we talk about people making good money abroad, but people working in construction here are also making good money at the moment. But the problem is greater than just the construction industry. It is labour shortages across the economy. And that is one of the negative externalities of having such a successful economy at the moment. So it's not going to be an easy solution to get more people into the construction industry. It is continuing to grow the number of places for apprentices to get them out into the industry.
Okay, I want to get your perspective, because you're all young first time TDs. You're in the age cohort where I suppose your peers are smack bang in the demographic where, you know, around the 25 age group and older, living at home. So when you finally get time out from being a public representative, and in the day job, you're always a public representative, of course, but you're actually socialising with your friends. Do you find yourself more and more with people talking to you as a public representative? And if so, on this issue, what are they saying? Start with you, Paul Lawless.
There's huge frustration out there from my generation. And as I mentioned earlier, people are telling me, well, there's no houses been built here. And that's the truth. Supply is such a major issue. And that's why I think viability incentivizing builders to ensure that there's a profit there for them, and reducing VAT is fundamentally important. And bringing people home and ensuring we have increased the labour and the manpower is crucial. And, you know, Ryan mentioned apprenticeships. Apprenticeships and people who go on to do trades are treated appallingly in this country. Absolutely appallingly. I had friends, and I have friends, that have left their trade. And they left their trade because they had no idea when they were going to be called. And like I went on, for example, and did teaching. I knew that if I completed my exams, I would finish my degree in 4 years.
Sorry, what do you mean? Do you mean they were working doing the practical site work, but they didn't know when they were going to get their college off-site hours, or when they were going to complete their apprenticeship?
They had no idea when they would be called for their various phases for their theoretical side.
Sure.
Some were called, some of my friends in Mayo were called to Carlow, Donegal, Dublin. And if they didn't take it, Cullum, they might not get called again for another year. So, like, there has been a huge snobbery in the education sector and by government treating these people who we want now to build Ireland, treating them appallingly, okay, with no respect whatsoever. People who go on to do trades should know that they can complete their trade within a timely fashion and not be treated at the bottom of the barrel type stuff. We wouldn't do it to the professional classes, and we shouldn't do it to the people that are building and working hard in cold winter mornings, building blocks, plastering walls, cangoing walls. It's unacceptable.
Conor Sheehan, just from the point of view of, you know, how the within your own, I suppose, personal experience, what issues are being brought to your attention from people that you actually know, that you have first-hand experience of them dealing with?
I suppose housing is the number one issue that comes up, obviously.
Yeah, within that, and what's the biggest challenge?
In relation to that, there's a load of different dynamics. Like, I have friends who are living with their partners and their kids in their parents' home. I even noticed that a lot when I was canvassing, because you'd go to a house, a three-bedroom house in a suburban estate, and you might see four or five or six cars there, you know, because there'd be two or three adult kids. But, like, my sister is 30. She's a primary school teacher. She's a full-time, good, pensionable job. And she feels like there is no prospect of her realistically being able to buy a home anytime soon. Like, she's a single woman. I know from talking to other friends who are in the private rental sector, like, they are just literally, it's hand to mouth every month. Like, their rents are now on average 2 to 2.5 thousand euro. They are to the pin of their collar. And, like, I have, you know, friends, for example, I would have some friends that would be 10 years older than me, for example, and may have bought a home 10 years ago, and their mortgage is, say, 600 euro a month. And then they'd have a sibling who's my age who bought a home recently, literally the equivalent house, and their mortgage is 1500. And they're locked into that until they're in their late 60s, early 70s.
All right. Ryan O'Mara, obviously, I mean, the nature of the conversation you might be having yourself could be different in that you're a TD in a government party, and people, it may be a combination of lobbying and recrimination you're hearing from people in your own age group. But, I mean, what are you hearing, and what do you have direct experience of that you could bring to the parliamentary party as issues that need to be solved?
I guess it's housing is the number one issue affecting our generation. I think we all agree on that. I was very open about that during the campaign. I was very open about the fact that I still live at home, and that's a common thing in our generation now. It's harder for us to get a start in life. That's just a fact at this stage. And when you see the percentage of people still living at home, and that has to be recognised. And I think, regardless of our policy positions or our ideology, we would all be united in the fact that it is the single greatest issue that's defining our generation at the moment, and why it has to be a priority for this government. Why I think it's quite an incredible honour to be a young person in the Dáil and to be able to be that voice as well. And last week I had a slot on questions on promised legislation. It was my second time to speak, so it was my maiden speech because that was on the storm. But I took the opportunity to raise water and wastewater infrastructure, because that is one of the greatest barriers, particularly in my part of the country, to building in our towns and rural villages. So it all does come back to supply. It comes back to the fact that houses need to become more affordable by greater supply in the market, and that's how we are going to eventually, in our generation, be able to afford homes.
Although I did mention the year 2005 before, there was 80,000-90,000 houses being put out in that year, and prices continued to rise despite even that output. Elaine, there was a report out from Accord today, which is the Catholic Marriage Counselling Agency. It does pre-marriage courses and marriage counselling for when difficulties arise in relationships. But they were talking about housing, which is not what you'd expect them to be commenting on. But they're weighing in on this for, I suppose, social reasons.
Yeah, and I suppose going back to what the three other panellists have mentioned there now, that it is such a major factor in people's lives when they're at a certain age or below a certain age. And I'm lucky enough that I'm probably slightly older than the other three panellists. Not lucky enough, but lucky enough insofar as that I was able to get on the property market, unlike my two younger siblings who I see them now. And obviously, I think it's in us as Irish people to aspire to own our own home. It's just something that I think is inbuilt in us. And I don't think they see that as a possibility now. And we were talking just a few minutes ago about giving giving property investors assurances. But those renting now need assurances too, and they don't, because I know, okay, I may be paying a mortgage for the rest of my life, but I know exactly how much I'm going to be paying every month for the rest of my life. Whereas if I'm like my younger brother and sister, they don't know whether they're going to get eviction notices next month. They don't know next year, will the property be hiked up by another 2%? And this goes on and on and on, and they are living in uncertainty. And that, I think, is the difference between me, just a few years older than them, and then people who are slightly younger and you know, finishing college, trying to get a foot in life and trying to get a foot on the property ladder, and that's not a possibility.
Do any of you believe that, you know, the country will see a day where, in a situation like Vienna, there is a zoned area of the city where people pay €750 a month in rent for a two-bed apartment? What do you think, Ryan O'Mara? Do you think we'll ever get to that point?
I haven't seen much policy proposals on that. I guess they have a model that works there very well. We're in a situation right now where we're trying to do a major, major catch up after 10 years of complete undersupply or no building. So to think about getting to that scenario first, the priority has to be catching up on where we need to be and then continuing to deliver 50 to 60,000 homes per year. That is the priority right now.
Conor Sheehan?
No, not unless we see a change of government and a fundamental change in housing policy, because it's very clear that the Department of Housing, first of all, Micheál Martin has sidelined the minister. He is the ipso facto housing minister at the moment. He's very much driving the car, and they've completely capitulated already to institutional investors and developers. I mean, what Micheál Martin said in Elaine's interview and with your colleague Justin on the This Week programme on Sunday, if you listen to what the institutional investors are saying, it is nearly ipso facto the exact same thing. I mean, in fact, you know, shares went up for the REITs on Monday after the Taoiseach's comments. And I mean, what we need to see is we need to see a pivot back towards a state-led model. Like, the government are putting record amounts of money into housing, but a lot of it is going into inflationary schemes.
Okay, Paul, what do you think? Do you think that those rents of that level will ever be seen?
Well, I certainly don't under this government. I mean, the government talk about it being a priority, but it's so far removed from what's happening on the ground. And I'll give you one example. Infrastructure is one of the key issues around the inability for people to be able to build, whether that's on their own land or one-off site or estates, etc. And there's a beautiful town in Mayo, Newport. And in Newport, they pump raw sewage out into Clew Bay, one of the most beautiful parts of this country, because there is no water treatment plant. And the people there have been promised a water treatment plant for decades. And as a result of that, the people there will not be able to build. There will be no housing development. So I don't see it, because there's no urgency in relation to addressing the issue. There's talk and there's misleading comments.
I think it's really important because I do want to get to some listener comments here. Yeah.
A COVID-like urgency is I'm referring to, Colm.
Like, one side of it, we've said that there's seen as no urgency from the government, and the other side of the opposition is that Taoiseach is taking over the housing policy. Like, we've spent the last 2 weeks in the Dáil debating housing probably more than any other issue. We've repeatedly said it is the number one priority for this government. The fact that we are taking such a lead on it so early in this government proves that.
Ryan, come on, 40,000. You promised 40,000 houses last year.
We've covered the 40,000 issue. We want to get to the listeners here. Thankfully, someone is telling the truth about apprentices. They were totally forgotten during COVID. No progression. Stayed at the same level for 2 years. The university students progressed. Government pays lip service. My son finished plumbing, gone to Australia. Not only housing, equality of esteem, says Robbie Cronin to 51551. Hi, Colm. Delighted to hear your guests talking about incentives to get Irish people back from abroad. I have 3 grown-up kids in Melbourne. They'd love to come back to Ireland, but realistically feel scared to come back as they'll never be able to afford a house here. They say they know lots of friends over there who feel the same. It's such a serious situation that Irish people who have a right to live in their own country can't get home to live as an Irish person in their homeland. Somebody else saying, how can we get workers home when there's nowhere to live? Planning here is a joke. More about badgers or wildlife than homes for people. Past time for politicians to wake up, says Mary. There's just a flavour of some of the listener comments. We're going to take a break. We're back in a minute.
The Late Debate with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.